Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
We started out last week talking about the theme for 2015. We talked about how back in the fall, we had this whole message series talking about the new normal. This new normal that if we know what the normal is, the world's normal, that hey, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, but God has a different standard of living for us. And so when we talked about what does it look like to really rely fully on God, what does it look like to really live, have God live in us and breathe through us in our relationships, in our families, and in our school, when we look at that, something starts to change. And so that was kind of the foundation as we started this year of 2015, and we're saying that this year our theme is realizing that we serve the God of the impossible. That we serve the God of the impossible. And I mentioned, I kind of got honest with you, that's kind of scary for me. Because if you're honest, that means that God's going to ask me to do something impossible. And I don't know what that might look like. I don't know if that's going to be an attack or look like something with my health or with my kids' health or with finances or what. But realizing that, God, I believe that you are going to do something impossible in and through me. That it's going to be difficult, that there's an opportunity of fear. But we talked about this before. I love that line. I'm not going to let fear dictate the call of God on my life. And so we talked about that. And so when you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to impossible things. If you're going to say yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, that means you're going to say yes, I'm going to be doing things that get me out of my comfort zone and into my courageous zone. That gets me out of feeling comfortable, but gets me into an area of being courageous and taking the next step. And so we say yes to being part of the impossible, being David facing Goliath, seeing a blind man getting healed, or splitting the Red Sea. We believe that God can do impossible things. And you're saying, well, I don't know if anything in my life's really impossible, but for some of you, you're still struggling with the same habits and hang-ups that you were months ago, years ago. You're still in the same family situation that you've always been in, and you just don't know how that's going to ever change. And for some of you, you're saying, well, you're actually stuck in what we talked about last week about being stuck in a spiritual coma. Remember, we said that often it's harder to wake someone up from a coma than it is to bring them from death to life, you know, do the whole CPR and all that. It's harder to bring them out of or wake them up from a coma. And often that's the same in our spiritual life is we can kind of just be alive on the outside, but really just spiritually dead, just meh, whatever, just cruising, brain dead, not really doing anything for God. And so we talked about how we need to be awakened out of that. And that's an impossible task for some of us. And so our theme verse is that Matthew 19, verse 26, and it says this, for mortals, humans, it is impossible. And this is Jesus talking. It says, but for God, all things are possible. For humans, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible. So it's basically saying, I want to go all in and all out for Christ. I want to go all in and all out for Christ because he's the one that started the impossible thing, right? He did something impossible. He created something out of nothing. The first words God said was, let there be light. Something impossible. Something ridiculous. And yet he created something out of nothing. And that task hasn't been accomplished since then by anyone or anything else. And he created this light. And we talked about how darkness often brings confusion. Chaos, right? It often brings something like you kind of lose your bearings. Anyone ever stub their toe in the dark? You know, it's horrible, right? It's very frustrating, especially when you have kids, and then all of a sudden you're walking through the dark, and like you're stepping on toys, you're tripping over like robots. You're like, how in the world did this get here? So it's very frustrating. But that's we realize that darkness brings a certain element to it. Some of you guys have played Murder in the Dark with me at my house, or here on Halloween night we played Murder in the Dark, turned all the lights off and ran around and had a fun time. It was kind of like tag, sort of, except if you got tagged, you had to lay down and play dead. But there's an element. Like, if we played Murder in the Light, it'd be like, okay, I see you, oh man. Like, there wouldn't really be any, like, suspense to it. Like, it, of course, I also added it because I would have my, like, creepy, like, I don't know what it was, my Halloween mix that I was walking around. And so there's an element of darkness that kind of does that. So darkness brings something that is an element that seems like, man, I can't see. There brings chaos. There brings confusion. It's something. Hey, Rogan Thien, can you come here for a second? So this is, I wanted to give an illustration of what darkness looks like. Can you stick it on? Nope. Backwards. There you go. Nope. Turn around.
Hey, you're not explaining yourself.
Stick your hands. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
There you go. Awesome. All right, now come over here. Come over here. Oh, awesome. Gosh. Now, all I'm going to want you to do is walk from here to that red barrel. Now, just a second. And don't move until I say go. And go. Don't hit anything. Oh, my goodness. All right, come back. Come back. Don't hit anything else. Oh, my goodness. What are you doing? Okay. All right, let's try this again. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. All right. Now, walk to the barrel. Without touching the chair. Man, you are good. Let's give it up for Caleb. Woo! So in a way, that represents darkness. In a way, that's spiritual. And you're saying, well, it wasn't really darkness. It was more you just covered his face. But isn't that what darkness is? Darkness is a cover-up of what is really there. That's what darkness is. Light brings clarity to the confusion and purpose to the chaos. See, God did the same thing that he did back in Genesis. He did the same thing spiritually in the Gospels. In John 1, it says that Jesus is light. And that in that light, darkness could never overcome it. And so all of a sudden, we see that God brings spiritual light. He awakens us out of a spiritual coma that we ourselves can't get out of. And so all of a sudden, that means that our God is an impossible God that can do impossible things. And so there are things in our life that we need his light in. I left last week with that challenge of what areas in your life are in the shadows? What areas in your life need to have light shine into? That you're saying there's elements that I'm holding back. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I follow Jesus. Yeah, all that. But there's habits, there's thoughts, there's words, there's music that I listen to, there's movies that I watch, there's relationships that I don't want him to touch. Hey, I got this, God. You know, you brought her into my life. You brought him into my life. I can take it from there. And all of a sudden, darkness enters. We become spiritually blind to some things. So we say, what things does God need to shine his light in? You know, what does that look like? And so what does that mean for us? What does it mean to have God's light shine into our darkness? Because the reality is we're not all blind like Caleb was, but we're wearing blinders. You ever see a horse with, like, blinders on, right? Right? But we're not like that. Because the horse with the blinders on can see straight where he's going, knows the path that he's supposed to be on. He's not looking to the right or the left. We're more like this. Right? Because all of a sudden, we typically compare ourselves to the people next to us, but we can't really see what's right in front of us. We can't really see, you know, what's happening right in front of us. Now, everyone, stick your thumb out as far as you can. Woo. Not very big. All right, now close one eye. Still can see pretty well. All right, now bring that thumb until you can't see anything but that thumb in front of that eye. Wait a second. Now my whole view is blocked except for that thumb wasn't very big a minute ago. All right, so open your eyes. Some of you guys can still see. Some of you guys, but most of your view was blocked. And here's the thing, is so many times there's small situations in our life, small things that we allow in our life. And the longer we allow them, guess what? The more of a blind spot we tend to have. Pretty soon, we're not able to see anything because we've allowed this sort of darkness into our life to cover up our eyesight of who God has created us for, of this purpose that he's put us on this planet for. And so that's what we want to talk about. Because you're saying, man, I think I'm going the right way, but I just don't know. because we don't always see what's right in front of us, and it's the tiny things that become really big. We find ourselves still in confusion, still in frustration, still day to day, not feeling like we're really making that much of a difference, not making much of a purpose. So if the God of the impossible can bring to our lives what we could never do on our own, then what does that mean? What does that look like? And we talked about how this whole idea that we accept Christ, but we often don't accept his clarity. You're saying, what? It's like that present, remember? Christmas. And I give Obadiah a gift. He's like, yay, I got a gift, right? But if he doesn't open it, that's all that there is. And often that's what we act like as Christians. When we accept God, we're like, yay! But we don't ever use what's inside of it. Like, because the thing is, when we start to use what's inside, that light, it sometimes can become painful. Earlier this week, not but a couple days ago, I had this. It was painful. I was going to bed, and I was talking to Lauren. I was telling her, I was like, man, I'm really struggling. I really feel like we need to do this. And it was seemingly a good idea, but it was the struggle that I had with ministry of some of the stuff. And I was just like, man, I really feel like we're missing it. We're just missing the mark in this. And we're just, man, I really wish we could do this and do this and do this. Right? And then I woke up in the morning, and God was like, Donnie, all that is pride. You're allowing pride to frustrate you, to confuse you, to blind you. And all of a sudden, what I thought was seemingly good, hey, it was a good thing. I want to be more creative and do a different thing in ministry. I want to I want to be more innovative. That was my big thing. I want to be more innovative in how we do student ministry and all that stuff. And it was seemingly good, but it was all about me. And it was all about what I could do. And so often in our relationship with God, we do the same thing. It's all about what we can do. Man, I want to read the Bible more because I want to put the check mark off. It's not about getting closer to God. You just want a check mark saying that, hey, you're a good person, right? It's you can lead worship and still be all about you. You can preach and it still be all about you. You can witness to your friends and still be all about you. And God's saying, no, you're allowing some issues in your life. And so for a lot of us, you're saying, well, I've accepted Christ, but there's still some issues that I'm working through. And it's because we're allowing these little issues of pride, of frustration, of man, rebelliousness against our parents, man, a little bit angst against our siblings. No, I know, you guys don't fight with your siblings. You guys are perfect. But you got a little bit of that. And all of a sudden, it seems like something small. You're like, man, Donnie, you're making a big deal out of nothing, right? I'm not going off doing something horrible. And yet, it's slowly clouding our vision to where we can't do everything that God's called us to do. It's a seemingly good thing, but the motive is wrong. So if we agree that God is the God of the impossible, what does that mean for us? What good is a gift if you don't use the gift? Austin, I'll pick on Austin a little bit. He got a really sweet gift last year. It was a certain kind of camera. What kind of camera was it? A GoPro. A GoPro camera. One of these GoPro cameras is really cool. It's all the rage right now. But Austin, actually, you just sold it, right? And do you remember the reason you told me why you sold it? You don't do anything that requires the use of it. Interesting. GoPro cameras are kind of these extreme sport cameras. You can strap them to your head. You can, like, ski with them. You can go surfing with them. Here's something that you can do. Go to YouTube and just type in GoPro, which I did, and I'll show you a video, and they're just insane, like, all the videos. So, I mean, there are some seriously sweet videos about GoPro that people use, but you don't, I mean, he sold it because he didn't use it. He didn't do anything that he would require a GoPro for. He didn't do anything that he would require that gift for. And likewise, we can hear some sweet stories about God. We can hear some sweet stories about, oh, wow, God did this for me, and oh, wow, God used to do this, and oh, I read in the Gospels and the Bible and David and Goliath and healing and all this stuff, and wow, that's really cool. But if you're not doing anything with your life that you really need the gift of God's light for, then why do you have it? And so in this whole year of 2015 and talking about God of the impossible, it's going to challenge us to step out of our comfort zone and be a little more courageous and realize that God has called us to shine light into the darkness. That's what we're created for. That's the gift that God's given us, is to shine light into the darkness, to be his vessels that he uses. And God's saying, I created you. You're the light of the world. Matthew, it talks about that. You're a city on a hill, right? To be salt and light. Like, that's what he calls us. He calls us to be his vessels of light. And yet we don't really do anything with it. We're kind of like flashlights. I brought some flashlights. I brought Obadiah's because it's tick-tock clock. And when you open it, yeah, is that... So, and when you shine it on a wall, it's like the little cross skull bones and all that stuff. So anyways, we're flashlights. That's all we are. And inside of us, God's given us the ability to shine his light. Inside of us, God's given us this ability. But often, what are flashlights for? Oh, that's going to be annoying. But they're for shining in the darkness. You can't really tell because this is a really weak flashlight. There's the skull and crossbones. You can see it. But they're for shining in the dark. They're to do something with it. But often, we're kind of like this whole idea. This is another weak one, but it's going to make a point here. We're more, instead of shining in the dark, we're more just kind of shining at one another. Like, we're just shining light at light. And it's like, that's not really doing anything, right? And because we have these relationships with each other, and we come to church and we know friends and we're like, yeah, hey, how's it going? But we don't even shine God's light into the dark places in our friends' lives. And when I say that, I mean, we don't even hold each other accountable. We don't even say, hey, should you really be dating that guy or girl? Or, hey, man, should we really be listening to this sort of music, you know, on the car on the way to youth group? You know, man, you know, should we really be doing something different at school, like actually being useful, actually shining light? Or like a lot of us don't even do that. We're kind of just shining light at light. Hey, you're awesome. No, you're awesome. No, you're awesome. No, you're awesome. We're awesome. Right? And that's kind of what we do. And see, the thing is, we're just shining light instead of shining into the dark places. Acts 13, verse 47 says, "For so the Lord had commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles." Gentiles kind of represent the unsaved. "That you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." We're called to shine light into the darkness. We're called to shine God's light into the dark places. Not shine light at light. We're called to shine into the dark places. And so, when was the last time that you purposed to shine God's light into the darkness at your school or your family? Or your relationships, or at work? When was the last time you even allowed God to shine his light into the dark places of your own life? You ever walk with somebody in the dark, like at a park outside somewhere? Anyone? No? Okay, a couple of you. For the rest of you who have no idea what it's like to walk outside in the dark, we're all going to go outside right now. No. Okay, so back 4th of July this summer, 4th of July, Lauren and myself and the kids and Lauren's grandparents went to watch fireworks. We went to watch the Fairport fireworks, but we watched it at Headlands. You know, if you go along, there's like that little peninsula or whatever, and you go on the other side and you can watch it. Well, it's kind of a little trail through the woods there or whatever field. And so we're kind of walking, but they shoot off fireworks at night. So it's now dark after the fireworks, and we're walking back. And when you walk with somebody in the dark, you walk with them, and you're typically walking and you're shining a light. There we go, a light, and you're looking at your path, and you're like, oh, hey, watch out for that stump, or watch out for that rock. Oh, hey, there's a mud glob that you might trip on, right? You're looking at the ground, you're surveying. And when you're walking together, this is what God's called us to do as accountability, as people that love Jesus together. We're supposed to say, hey, watch out for that. I don't want you to fall. Watch out for that. Oh, okay, thanks. Hey, there's a thing that I see in your life that, hey, watch out for that. I don't want you to fall. Hey, watch out for that. And so that's what God's called us to do. That's shining light into the darkness. But then there's another aspect of people that haven't necessarily made Christ their Lord yet. And they're kind of wandering around in the dark. And so Lauren and I, or it was Lauren and her grandma, then her grandfather and I, and they kind of were walking up ahead with a flashlight, and grandfather and I were like, oh boy, I don't know where anything is, right? And so it was one of those moments that they had to turn around and shine light back for us to see. And so the challenge is, where in our life are we having people follow us, right? Because Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ, right? We're called to follow Christ and be an example for others, right? To go after God with everything so that by our lives, people could see a reflection of Christ. And so if they're trying to follow us, they're like, hey, I know you're out there somewhere, but we're not shining God's light back so that they could see the pitfalls, the potential trials. Hey, I really don't think you should be getting into a relationship with them. Hey, I really don't think you should be going to that party. I know you say you're not going to drink, but just the environment alone, you know, avoid the appearance of evil, right? Hey, I really don't think you should be listening to that kind of music. Hey, let's listen to this. Hey, let's do this. And yet we kind of tend to be, myself included, kind of tend to be looking at them and being like, hey, you're in the dark. Hey, you're going to fall over. You don't know where you are or what you're doing. You're dumb. And they're like, yeah, I know that, genius. I don't know. You have a light and you're not shining it. You're not using your light. Oh, right? There's that element that we're called to shine our light back so people can see what they're doing. So that God's light can penetrate that darkness so that they can get one step closer. We might not get to see every person that we know come to Christ. Reality, it stinks, it bites, it really does. We might not get to see everyone that we know come to Christ, but we have an opportunity to help them get one step closer by shining our light for them for that next step. Hey, watch out for that. Oh, okay. That's one step closer to understanding who God is and who God has called them to be. And we have that opportunity. Not only that, we have that mandate. Now, these flashlights, like I said before, aren't very powerful. If you can see, like, this one's just about dead. Often, we don't get mad at the light itself, but rather, what do you have to do when the light goes out in your flashlight? Replace the batteries or recharge the light or whatever. It's not like, oh my gosh, and you just like throw away the whole flashlight. Well, some of you might. But you just replace the batteries. It's recharging the power source. And so we have to have a powerful energy source. We have to allow God to actually shine through us. What do you do if your flashlight's going out? You're like, work! Right? And that's kind of, I feel like that's what God, well, especially with me, that's what God does. It's like, I put you here on this planet for a reason. Work! Shine the light! Shine it! God, Donnie, come on, man. Right? There's that element that, I'm sure God doesn't get that, kind of. He might. I feel like sometimes that's how he treats me. Like, he's just like, right? But it's, are we connected to the power source? Are we recharging our batteries to shine God's light even brighter? Because often we think that we can do it on our own. We think that we can tell people how to live a life, and it's really, hey, you're now playing God's job. You are the flashlight. You are not the light. You are the flashlight shining God's light, right? And so God said, I want to use you. I want to shine through you. I want you to be my hands and feet. And see, Psalm 19, verse 105, it says, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So staying connected to God, believing God's power, believing that God is the God of the impossible. So tonight, let's make a declaration that we're going to serve the God of the impossible. That we're going to say, you know what, I'm not holding back. I'm going after God with every aspect of my life. I know that he's going to call me to do something impossible. Proverbs 7, verse 2 through 3, it says, obey my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you guard your own eyes. Tie them on your fingers as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. So tonight, we have several pieces of paper that we're going to do just that at. And on these pages are, some of it's a concordance out of a Bible. Some of it's just different things. But what I want you to do is tonight, we're going to do two things. I want everyone in here to grab two pieces of paper. And they're really thin. Don't rip them. One, two, right? And you're going to come up here, and you're also going to grab a marker. We should have enough. We might need to share. You're going to grab a marker. Don't get caught up on what color. They're mostly black. All right? I can already tell. Some of you are like, I want the pink one. All right, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to write two things. On one page, I want you to write, and I'm not talking like little itty-bitty. I want to take up this, I want big, bold letters. I want you to write, what part of your life does God need to shine into? What part of your life, what is it? Is it your habits? Is it your thought life? Is it your relationships? Is it your laziness? Is it your words, the music, what you look at or watch? What part of your life does God need to shine into? You don't need to write your name to it. It can be anonymous. But what part of your life does God need to shine some light into? Does the God of the impossible need to do an impossible thing and get rid of darkness in your life? What area of your life? And then, on the other piece of paper, on the next one, I want you to write, because we talked about this, so often we get so concerned with all of our hang-ups and failures and sins, but that's not who God is. Our God is a God of the impossible, a God that's incredible, the creator of the universe, and that's what we need to focus on. So on the second piece of paper, I want you to write down, who is God to you right now? Not this like long, drawn-out, God is the Father, the Son, the Alpha, the Omega. No, I'm talking about like right now, what is God to you? Is he your protector right now? Man, I'm really going through this hard time, and he's my provider. You know, what characteristic of God is most important to you right now? Not saying the others aren't important, don't get all bent out of shape, but what characteristic, what attribute of God is something that you think about, man, or you should be thinking about right now? Just an element of who God is to you. And so I want you to write in that, you know, is he the light of control or of peace, of purpose, of healing, of hope, restoration, boldness? Is that who he is to you? Is he shining that sort of light into your life? I want to read this verse, and then we're going to put on some music, and then I want you to come up, single file, take two pieces of paper, and just spread out and spend some time with Jesus, all right? This verse is Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3. It says, arise, shine. Let your light shine for all to see, for the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Darkness as black as night covers all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. So tonight, let's let God's light shine into the darkness of our lives so that others might see and be saved. Let's use the gifts for what it's intended for. Let's be the flashlight that God has called us to be, and let his light shine into us.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.